This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. In today's message, we're going to explore the practical meaning of the good news of Jesus Christ. What is it? What does it mean for us in 2016? And how can its truths transform our daily lives? Please join us for our message, What is the Good News?
Have you ever thought to yourself, I sure could use good news? From the beginning of the church, the heartbeat of the message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. That message has become the passion for the church's mission. Today, as we read about this story of Jesus rising in his hometown synagogue to speak about how the Holy Spirit has anointed him to preach good news, we want to learn how that good news still is of great significance for us in our lives today. Let's pray together. Lord God, this world is a dark and challenging place. It's easy to become discouraged or to lose our way. I pray that in the message today from your word, you would ignite faith in us, and that we would, by your Spirit, be restored to joy and to peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's gospel is recorded in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. News about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unfolding it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue fastened on him. He began saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Did you hear about the pastor who moved to a new town to begin ministry in a new congregation? And after his very first worship service, the people were in a line to greet him, and a little boy put a $1 bill in the pastor's hand. "What's this for?" the pastor said. "Well, sir, after you finished your message today, my dad said, you're the poorest preacher we've ever had. So instead of putting it in the offering plate, I thought I'd just give it to you." Funny how words can have multiple meanings, isn't it? That's also true of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the profound truth that God in love sent his son Jesus into our world that all the world might be reconciled to him. In the good news is an implicit negative truth about us. The truth is, the life we've been living is flawed. So, in Luke chapter 4, as Jesus rises in the synagogue to speak about the prophet Isaiah's words that he's anointed to bring good news, the truth is, when Jesus says he'll make us rich, that without Jesus Christ, we're poor, bankrupt, without capacity to care for ourselves. When Jesus says he's going to set us free, the truth is that without Jesus, we're imprisoned in many forms of bondage and limits. When Jesus says he's going to open our eyes so we can see, the truth is we're either blind about our own flaws, or we're blind to the essence of life itself. Or best of all, when Jesus says, "You are forgiven in my name," the truth is, we are sinners, flawed, broken rebels who need the grace of God and the reconciliation into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So what is the good news of Jesus Christ? The church has treasured the gospel of Jesus as the heartbeat of its life ever since its birth. And it is the passion of our mission as God's people to share the life-changing message that Jesus Christ has come into our world to give us abundant life. But in a pragmatic reality, what does that mean for us in the 21st century? And how do we embrace that truth in a way that transforms our lives? The first truth of this good news is that we have a Father in heaven, the source of our life, our parent. He's not only all-powerful, he's also all-loving, and he continually searches to find us wherever we are and embrace us in love, in Jesus' name. I remember visiting with a colleague, pastor, years ago, who shared about a day his teenage son ran away. The superintendent of schools called his house and said, "Why isn't your son in school today?" "Oh, he is," said the pastor. "No, I'm sorry, he's not," said the school official. So the pastor went home and discovered that the family car was gone and that some money that had been in his closet in his bedroom was gone as well. Further, he found out that his son had gone along with a girl he'd been dating, so neither the girl's parents nor this father had any idea where this young teenage couple had gone. So they put out an all-points bulletin all across the country. They were searching for this young couple. For 3 agonizing days, they prayed and they waited and they longed for a word. Finally, a phone call came from a police officer in Kansas City saying, "Sir, we have your son." "I'll be right there as fast as I can," he said. Well, this pastor was a 6'8" man, big and tall. And his son actually was a tall young man as well. But when the father entered the police station, the young son cowered in his shame and guilt. "I really screwed up, Dad. I deceived you. I ran away. I took money from you." The father just wrapped his big arms around his son and squeezed him till the breath would come out of him. "No, I've really messed up. I ruined your reputation. I don't know what you're going to do now." The father embraced his son again and said, "I'm so glad you're okay. I love you. Let's go home." That story embodies for me the truth of the gospel, that our Heavenly Father is restless until he finds us where we are, and in the name of Jesus, invites us to experience his love in a personal relationship. He invites us to trust his forgiving grace and to walk with him day by day in the journey of life. The second truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God pours grace out to us that is always greater than the sum total of our sins and failures. It says in John chapter 1, "If his fullness we've all received, and grace upon grace." Or in the book of Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, it says, "This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness never runs out. His mercies are fresh and new every morning." That means that in faith, you and I can come again and again to God in prayer and pray, "Wash me clean, O God. Forgive my sins in Jesus' name." We resonate with the prayer of King David in Psalm 51 after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me out of your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." So in the name of Jesus Christ, grace is always greater than all our failure, and we have total access to the presence of God, and our greatest failures become the moments of God's greatest glory to forgive, and our broken, shattered lives now reflect the light of Jesus' love in a way that turns our lives into something beautiful. I remember traveling with my family out west years ago, and we came to a campground that had a big sign that said, "Stay with us, showers are free." In God's love, in the name of Jesus, we can bathe daily, cleansing our souls in the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ. The third profound truth of the good news of Jesus is that when he ascended into heaven, he did as he said. He sent to us the Holy Spirit. The Word of God calls him our Paraclete, one who comes alongside to help. He is a counselor who understands both our fragile, vulnerable hearts and our God-given glory. Jesus is truly Emmanuel, God with us. So that means in the sending of the Holy Spirit, you and I are never alone. Wherever we are, God is there with us. Jesus, you remember, said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you or forsake you." In Hebrews chapter 4, it says of Jesus that he's our high priest, able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He's been tested in all things as we are, yet he was perfect. It says in the prophet Isaiah, "A bruised reed he will never break, a dimly burning wick he will not quench." The Holy Spirit is our counselor who understands our weak hearts. But he's also the counselor who stands alongside us and encourages and draws out of us our glory, our created giftedness, the beauty that God has given to you as his child. And he wants, by his Spirit, to harness that glorious giftedness in you for the purposes of God. The fourth truth of the gospel of Jesus is that in his name, he calls us into a unity of peace. We live in a time in our American culture where there still is tremendous problems with racism, injustices, division between peoples. My wife Denise is a public music teacher. When we lived a few years back in Rockford, Illinois, she taught in a very racially diverse school system called Barber. It was about 75% Hispanic, about 20% African American, and about 5% white. Well, during a third grade class session on studying history in the social unrest of the 1960s, the teacher was sharing with them about the efforts of Dr. Martin Luther King, who conducted peaceful nonviolent marches to call public attention to the racial inequalities and injustices and oppression. So my wife Denise taught the classes the theme song, We Shall Overcome. It became a song for them of hope, of potential victory someday when all of life might resolve in a beautiful way. And as those little third graders sang the song, much to the amazement of Denise, those little girls and boys began to weep. The tears rolled down their cheeks, and she realized that they not only were learning about it as an element of history, they were still living in the experience of racial injustice, of oppression, of mistreatment, for no other reason except the color of their skin or the language they spoke. Jesus Christ, it says in Ephesians 2, is the Prince of Peace, who's broken down the barrier of the dividing walls of those who are far from God and those who are near. Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, has not only broken down the dividing wall between we who are sinners and the holiness of God, he's broken down the barrier, the dividing wall, between us and other peoples. And by faith in Jesus as the Prince of Peace, we begin to live in the reality of God's will in the unity of His love. We seek to usher in God's vision of peace, even as we look ahead to a day in heaven, where, as it describes in Revelation, the people of all races and language and cultures and nations will be united together in the presence of Jesus, the Lamb who was slain. Jesus is our peace. Lastly, the good news means that we are never without hope. There is, for sure, in our day, a prevailing cynicism and despair. There are a lot of people who have thrown themselves into a lifestyle of pure hedonism. I believe that's in part because there's a lack of confidence in our future. To ease the pain of that anxiety about the future, people just escape into drugs or sensual pleasures or the pursuit of money or accumulation of material goods. They have no vision for the future. They've lost hope. And as a result, the moral infrastructure of our culture seems to be disappearing. Family systems are breaking down. People labor in this disappointing emptiness, powerlessness, and anxiety. The good news is that God is all-powerful, and He's transcendent over all these limits that we're living in. He is the embodiment of our hope. When He sent Jesus into our world, not only did Jesus go to the cross to die for our sins, but He died on the cross to embrace us in our darkest moments. He died to embrace the world in its brokenness. And someday the resurrected Lord will come again, and He will heal the world, and He will draw all people into His presence of love and life forever. God still reigns. He's in control. And the unfolding of history is going to come to the desired end that God desires. The future, therefore, does not have to be a continuation of our past trauma or our present struggles and failures. The future will become what God says it will be. In Jesus' name. That's the faith that gives birth to a hope that allows us to walk with strength today. Years ago, I was invited to help out with a Special Olympics event. My job as a volunteer when I got there, I learned, was to stand at the finish line of every race that those boys and girls of the Special Olympics ran, and I was to be the hugger. Whoever ran and competed in my lane, when they crossed the finish line, I was to embrace them in a hug and offer them congratulations and encouragement for a job well done. However we run the race, in the name of Jesus, God the Father embraces us to say, "You're my child. I love you. Your sins are forgiven. You belong to me. You can trust my heart." What good news we celebrate. What hope we share. Because in the finish of all things, we know that we are in the embrace of God, and God's favor rests upon us. We can believe it. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we need to be reminded again of your love that cannot be broken, and how you come to us to fill us with your power and peace. Lift our hearts that we may believe in you and live with hope. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has encouraged you to believe more fully that you are in the embrace of your Heavenly Father and His favor rests upon you. A number of devoted Christian Crusader listeners have chosen to include this ministry in their estate planning. Estate gifts have become a significant part in our ministry. We are grateful for all those who have chosen to make a final gift to support our mission. In this way, these donors leave a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To find out more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly e-preview of the upcoming program. To receive this e-newsletter, call us or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to sign up. You can also sign up to receive our quarterly print newsletter, The Crusader. CDs and printed copies of today's program are available as well. Simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Lee Lavig, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Spencer, Iowa, and associate speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 80th year of broadcasting biblical truth.